afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis.
I'm Murray Valerian.
It's Sunday morning, Murray.
It is. That's why I have the Sunday morning voice.
Sunday morning. It's not even Sunday morning. It's 10 after 1 p.m.
I know. But I had a long week. We had a long weekend.
We did have a long weekend. We had a long weekend. Today is October 13th. Happy birthday to my daughter, Rita.
Oh, sweet. I didn't know that.
And happy birthday to friend of the show, Sammy Hagar.
Oh, happy birthday, Hagar. Somebody just saw him recently. Who was it?
Amy Lehman, maybe?
Probably.
Yeah, probably Amy Lehman.
Oh, no. We were talking about Sammy Hagar the other night because you didn't like Cabo Wabo Cantina. Is that right?
I did not like the restaurant that is at Hollywood and Highland. I've only eaten there once. I don't like when people are like, I'll never go back there again. But I just, my food was not good that day. And how do you not do grilled shrimp?
It just wasn't
good.
All right. It's got to be hard to ruin shrimp.
My shrimp at home is better.
I've been a vegetarian for 25 years, and everybody always asks, what's the first thing you'll eat if you ever give it up? And it's shrimp.
Shrimp. Come over to my place and make great shrimp.
Really?
Yeah.
I was going to go to Cabo Wabo.
Don't do it.
No, you don't think so?
Not unless you're going to get plastered on Waburitas first.
Of course.
I'm recording with the Invisalign in. I only have four more weeks to go.
I don't think you can tell. I don't think you have to say anything.
I'm recording with the Invisalign in. I've only got four more weeks, then I'll be back to fucking normal.
Mm-hmm.
Hey. So we did have a busy week. I went to see UFO Thursday
Boo.
Night. I know. You don't like them.
I like that song you played to test this. I honestly have no opinion. I don't know enough about UFO to have an opinion. So I can't.
A little bit. This is from 2000. This is called Unraveled. That's Michael Schenker on guitar, Ainsley Dunbar on drums.
I didn't think Schenker was with them anymore.
He was in 2000.
Okay. Oh, all right.
Yes, you will be beautiful, but you will be vain.
Coming unraveled. There you go.
I remember I used to take my son Frank to a music class when he was like two or three, and they could just bang on stuff.
Right.
And there were two guitar guys who kind of led the whole thing. And I was walking in one day, and they were playing a UFO song.
Oh, cool.
Just jamming on there. And I just said, oh, those guys had dreams.
Hey, the guys in UFO had dreams. So I went to see UFO Thursday night with Mike Schmidt. I had a photo pass. I could be in the pit for the first three songs. Mm. Then as the fourth song started, I realized, well, no one's coming to kick me out of the pit. But I did go back with Mike. And then when there were like six songs left, I said, I got to go back in the pit for these last songs. And he said, do it.
You didn't bring him down?
No, because I had a pass stuck on my shirt.
Oh, okay.
And this is their last tour.
Mm-hmm.
This is, it's called Last Orders.
And did you invite me to like the UFO fan page on Facebook or something?
Probably as a joke.
All right. Well, I can't get it off my Facebook page.
Mm. Well, just like it then. then the fire started Thursday night.
We have major fires here in
major
California.
Major fires.
Overnight, they started.
Overnight, they started.
I woke up the next morning, and schools were canceled. Yeah.
Friday morning, early, I go in, and I say to Rita, I gently wake her, and I say, hey, honey, because of the fires, there's not going to be school today. And she said, yay! I'm like, all right, we'll discuss it later. It's not the proper response.
How's Rita in school? Is she good?
She could work a little harder in some math and science.
Okay.
Does she have tons of friends? Yes. Is she popular? Yes. Is she doing well in drama and singing and dancing? Yes.
Good.
Could she do better in math and science? Yes.
Okay.
So
I only ask because Frank is starting to now get homework and now is when the work is starting. And
she has a math tutor.
It's been a little bit of a struggle to get him excited about. And Mary wants to get him excited about it. I'm like, honey.
He's never going to be excited about math.
You're not. He's not going to get excited about it.
Mary uses math in her line of work, though. She's got to measure things.
Mary, this is great. And I hope I'm not telling tales out of school here because I love my wife more than anything. Mary was like a straight A 4.0 class president.
Nothing wrong with any of this.
Went to Vassar.
Great.
Frank hates school and it drives her fucking bananas.
Yeah, that would. I get it. That definitely would.
And I always, and I know this isn't true, but every time like Frank had fucks up in school, she kind of gives me the side eye like, he got that from you.
It's not, Can that be inherited?
I don't know.
Can that be in your genes?
I don't know. I do.
Stupidity?
Can that be in your genes? No, that can't be handed down. Come on. No. How is that going to be handed down?
No way. And then Friday night, we had the fire, so we didn't know if The Who was still going to perform.
Yeah, you sent me a text saying, I don't know if The Who's going to perform tonight because of the fire. And it made sense because I live way far from the fires.
Right.
And I could smell them, and my eyes were burning.
I mean, around my house, the smoke was thick and ash all over the cars. Mm-hmm. I know, it's nuts.
Yeah,
it's like
crazy.
A volcano went off overnight. But Amy Lehman was at soundcheck, and so she texted me and said, no, the show's going on tonight. So I had purchased a ticket, and then I scored 2 free tickets, so I took you and Mike along. And then luckily, the free tickets were in a terrace box, and a terrace box has 4 seats.
Right.
And none of the seats were filled, so you got to sit with us the whole time.
Yeah, so I just walked over, and be honest with you, I was expecting a nosebleeder from you.
No. I always buy, if I'm by myself and I'm going to see The Who, I always buy a reasonable ticket.
Okay. Well, from knowing your relationship with the Bowl and how expensive the tickets are, I figured, oh, I'm going to be up in the rafters, but I don't care. It's free.
Even with where we were in the box, you guys were.
So I just walked over and sat with you guys.
When I do buy the occasional ticket once or twice a year, since I get so many free tickets, it doesn't feel like
that makes sense.
It doesn't feel, you know, it's fine.
I could see that.
So we saw The Who was with an orchestra. The orchestra was stellar.
Oh yeah. It's a Hollywood Bowl orchestra.
The lighting was amazing.
The background was great.
Liam Neeson opened. Let's talk about him. Liam Neeson opened. He thwarted a hostage situation and got his daughter back.
He came up and rescued a guy out of the nosebleeds. It was fantastic.
Liam Neeson to me is more popular than Liam Gallagher.
Well, probably, yeah. In this country anyway.
So Liam Gallagher opened. He was only doing a half hour, which is weird. 7:25. 25. Yeah. Cause he got off early.
Yeah.
We only saw one song.
I saw one song, and it was a very popular Oasis song.
Yes.
Champagne Supernova.
And his voice was not good at all.
It was terrible.
Thank you. It was awful.
I know probably in England there's a, Paul versus John, Noel versus Liam thing.
Yeah.
And I'm a Noel Gallagher. I like high flying
birds. Liam's an asshole.
Liam is a total asshole. I saw him at Coachella. They headlined Coachella. I spent the whole day in 120 degree weather. I suffered through crappy bands. Mm-hmm. They finally go on at 11 o'clock. Liam steps to the front of stage, crosses his arms, and stares at the audience. And the band didn't play for like 10 minutes. And I'm like, later. Yeah. I can't deal with this shit. I've been out in the fucking heat for 12 hours.
There's that famous show, and I think you can find clips of it on YouTube, where he doesn't go on with Oasis. He goes up and sits in the balcony.
Oh, that was their Unplugged.
Yeah, and he watches it, and Noel has to sing all the songs.
Yeah, and he claims that he had a sore throat or something, and then he just heckled.
Really?
Yeah, and then just heckled from the balcony. Yeah. That's their MTV Unplugged.
Wow, what a dick.
Totally.
I mean, yeah, fuck that guy.
But he released...
Unless you like him, then great.
Well, here's...
Then you missed a great show.
He released...
How do you suck in a half hour?
How do you suck playing your most popular song?
Champagne Supernova.
And it was stripped down to a piano and drums too, which sucked. I took a video of it because I wanted to send it to my friend Sess, who's a big Liam Gallagher fan.
Yeah.
And I was playing it this yesterday morning, and my son Frank, who's 7, goes, "What is that?" I said, "Oh, it's somebody I saw the other day." He's like, "His voice is terrible."
Thank you, Frank.
He's 7 years old.
Out of the voice of the young comes the truth.
He could work a little harder in math though.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so I was really disappointed. He was terrible.
To talk about the good stuff about The Who. Pete was great.
Yeah. The whole band was great.
The whole band was great. Zach Starkey's great. Pete.
Loved watching Zach Starkey. I liked that camera they had set up on him.
Yeah. Yeah. And the camera work at the Bowl that night was amazing. And you commented that they must have got new screens.
Yeah, they must have got new screens
because
they were super crisp and clear and vibrant.
The Pete Townsend, I say this all the time, his stage patter is not... It's not written. It's not. He doesn't say the same thing every night. He's just off the cuff a lot.
You think so? That seemed definitely. Very written.
Oh no, I never think it. I think he's just saying whatever comes to his mind.
I'm just saying. I think it's very written. It was too structured and stiff for it to be off the cuff.
Well, I think they were recording that night, so maybe it was a little more structured.
Yeah,
that night.
I think so also.
And now Roger, who just got over bronchitis, took about 4 or 5 songs to get warmed up.
It's interesting you say that. I read the LA Times review this morning of the show, and the guy in the LA Times who reviewed it said, Roger, who usually takes four or five songs to warm up, came out of the gate on time. And I was like, I still think you needed four or five.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking it as soon as you leaned over and said it to me. His voice just clicked in.
Because all of a sudden it was like, oh, there we go.
Yeah.
But again, he's 70. Is he 75?
I think somewhere around there.
And to sing Love Rain Over Me and Behind Blue Eyes, mm-hmm. those are difficult songs.
And he nailed both of them.
And he nailed both of them.
Because it was after four songs.
And yet you and I just think the show was about a 7 out of 10.
I got to say, I didn't love it.
Yeah.
I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it.
Why didn't we love it? What was it? Was it the company we were keeping? Was it Siegel? Did he bring us down?
I couldn't stand the two guys behind me. That was you and Mike.
Well, the two guys behind Mike and I were just, they were just talking.
Oh, the two guys in line?
Well, the two guys sitting behind us, you maybe couldn't hear them. They were just talking.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't.
Yeah, we ran into some idiots at that show.
Fuck, dude.
First of all, we're in line. I interrupted you. You were going to pontificate about what we didn't like about the show.
All right, here's my theory. First of all, I've seen several bands join an orchestra at the ball. I don't think I've liked any of them.
Okay.
I think I liked Beck's, and that was it. I saw Willie Nelson. What a bust. Like, you don't.
Yeah. I saw the Go-Go's. They were good with the orchestra.
Go-Go's did an orchestra?
Yes.
See, I don't know if I'd like that.
4th of July. They didn't do all the songs, but, you know, they, from time to time, they go, okay, this one's with the orchestra.
Well, that's what Beck did. I think he opened it up, and then he brought in the orchestra, and then they sent him out and closed it out.
But remember, The Who played a big piece of Tommy and a big piece of Quadrophenia.
That's my second thing, which I think made it not a good show. A really bad opening set, I think.
Because they have to start with the orchestra. So they start with Overture from Tommy.
Which is great. But then they go into a couple different, you know, less played, you know, very low energy Tommy songs. So you're kind of getting off to a very slow start. And then, see, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And then you get that part where Pete has his guitar break, and that's fantastic. But then you go into what's the other songs they played off of Tommy that just came through? I had the set list up earlier, but I don't remember. But it was like the first four songs, and they're kind of a snooze unless you're there to listen to the whole album. So I think it just got off to a late start. And then you come on to Pinball Wizard, and my favorite part of Pinball Wizard is when, you know, Pete's going that ching 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 ching, and then it comes in with that root note. They fucking did it on a French horn. I was like, that sucks. Pretty much. So that's my theory. I just got off to a slow start. And then when they ditched the orchestra, they sounded great.
Yeah.
They sounded great. If you're going to do that much Tommy, play all of Tommy and bill it that way.
And I got to be honest, I'm okay if they don't play Tommy or Quadrophenia anymore. Grab the three songs from that, but mix them in the set. You don't have to play them in order. You don't have to let us know that this is our Tommy chunk. This is our Quadrophenia chunk. Just mix it in.
That's what I was telling Mary. I'm like, Mary, go back and listen to Tommy. There are maybe three singles off that album. Right?
Just play those.
Just play those. You're done.
Yeah.
Play them. Pinball Wizard. Done.
Yeah. I mean, I love both of those, but I've seen them do. I saw them do Quadrophenia at the Staples Center, and it was amazing. But I think I've seen them do Tommy somewhere too. But I just.
But they're billed like that, and I don't know why bands are doing it. Like I did. I didn't. I decided not to see Brian Ferry because he played all of Avalon. Mm-hmm. But he broke it up. He'd like open with an Avalon song, go do two Brian Ferry solo songs, come back with
would you want him to do that or not want to do
it? I wouldn't want him to do it. Just do all of Avalon, close out with some singles, or open with some singles, do all Avalon, close out with some singles.
Drop Avalon right in the middle.
Bam, done. I'm there. I'll pay the $300.
Yep.
That was the deciding factor.
Now, Amy Lehman might have a different take on it because she was in, like, I think, the second row. And it's always great from the second row.
Absolutely.
It's always great.
You can go to the Wiggles in the second row and have a good time.
And it's fantastic. So, okay, that's how we felt. But we still had a good time hanging out. But everyone that we came in contact with, we were waiting in line. Mike wanted to get a beer, and Mary and I were getting waters. So we're in line. The guy that's standing in front of Mike, instead of facing towards the concession where we're headed to, he was turned around facing Mike, which caused Mike to have to turn around and talk to us.
And we didn't want that.
No, that guy wasn't even talking to us. Why is he doing that?
We didn't
want
to talk to Mike.
Then the guy behind us, he was a short, really short.
In a suit.
And older, in his 60s?
Yeah.
And
but well kept. He's like a financial advisor who just got off work.
But he's like, we're not really talking to him, but he's talking and we're supposed to answer him. And at one point he says the fucking stupidest thing. I can't believe that I didn't say anything to him. He said, Yeah, you think the band would get some better broads around here? meaning the women that were at the show. Well, first of all, the band doesn't import the women who come to the show. And how many fucking ugly dudes did we see?
Right. I mean, exactly.
It's just a stupid... First of all, broads. Yeah. I got a red flag over that.
Yeah, absolutely.
First of all...
If you're serious, who uses broads?
He's serious. That's that guy was serious. And he's not with anyone.
Right, he's alone. He's talking to three guys.
Yeah, who were ignoring him.
And not very attractive either.
No. He's a miserable person.
We can make that argument.
We did see some celebrity sightings that we saw. Chad Smith.
Well, celebrity.
The Red Hot... rough. Come on.
I know.
Red Hot Chili Peppers. We saw...
the luckiest drummer ever.
Yeah. Kelly Osbourne.
Yeah, it took me a sec. She looks great.
Yeah, purple hair.
She looks great. Purple hair. Lost a lot of weight.
The dude she was with and kissing on...
Let me tell you something. Hot broad.
The dude she was with and kissing on... Not a hot dude at all.
I was trying to figure out if I could figure out who that was.
I saw him in the bathroom.
Okay.
He had really, really bad acne scars on his face. And I was just like, she could do much better than that guy. I also saw Will Forte in the bathroom.
I didn't see him.
Trucker hat and trucker mustache and a flannel shirt. I think he might have been doing a character.
Okay.
And then we saw Mick Fleetwood.
Yeah. How do you miss Mick Fleetwood?
Him and Chad Smith are both like six.
Oh, that's something. True. That's true. And then that leads us to another obnoxious drunk guy who was standing behind me. And he was just, I don't know, he had been 6'4",
yeah.
380, had a beer. And he's like, I'm really glad to tell you this, but Mick Fleetwood's here.
Yeah, we know. He's 6'7", and he's in a costume. He's right. Got a hat, and he's got...
He's dressed like the cover of Rumors, basically.
He basically is. He's dressed like Mick Fleetwood dresses at a photo shoot for the band.
Absolutely, and as you should. If you're Mick Fleetwood, you go out.
Yeah.
And so I said, I know, I saw him. He's like, well, I don't know. To us nobodies, that's really impressive.
Okay,
like, well, who do you think we are? Baldwin?
We are. Yeah.
Like, what do you think?
So, yeah, it was impressive, but step back.
Yeah, relax.
Tell your friend who's standing next to you. Why talk to us?
Why? We don't look. Are we that inviting?
We can't possibly have looks on our faces that says, please talk to us.
Mike and I are already fighting because I pissed him off at dinner. So,
What'd you do at dinner?
That
was before I got there?
No, it was after you got there. We met for dinner first. We bought Pat dinner as a thank you for the tickets.
Yes. Even though I don't do any, all I have to do is write a review.
But still.
But I appreciate it.
They had one of those handheld credit card things.
Yeah.
And we were splitting the check.
Yeah.
And somehow it got into my hands and I couldn't figure it out. And the waitress, it should have been in the waitress' hands.
Yeah.
So Mike took over and then Mike was having trouble figuring it out. And then I thought the whole thing was so funny. I'm like, man, this is taking way too long. And Mike shot me a look. I'm like, it's a shame you're not a father, dude, because I instantly apologize. I'm like, I thought it was funny, man. He just fucking stared me down.
Oh, my God. Well, again, I think he just got home and he left the next morning.
Oh, that's true. He was heading out.
I'm amazed that guy makes time to do stuff, like big things, like a concert or come here to record. Like, because I'll be like, hey, when are you in town? I get in Monday, but then I leave Wednesday. Do you want to record Tuesday? Yeah, I'll do it. I'm like, okay.
He's lonely.
Open for anything.
He's got nothing. He's got no family. He's got no kids.
He listens to the show. He's not lonely. He just has more time than someone that's married with kids.
That's what I'm saying.
He's not lonely.
I know he's not lonely.
Not lonely at all?
No, I know he's not. But he doesn't have, he doesn't have a wife and kids.
You think he's lonely?
I think so.
All right. Should we get into the topic?
Why do you think he took so long with that credit card? He just wanted to talk to the waitress. He's got nobody to talk to.
Well, he's single, so he can talk to the waitress.
He knows how to talk to the waitress.
Amen.
I don't know how to talk to a woman.
You mean abroad?
Abroad. Let me tell you about the skirts.
Here we go. Here's the topic. I would tell you right now, the topic is called Kill Bomb. We did a topic in 2012. I think it was episode 70. That was with He Who Shall Not Be Named, and Kyle sitting in as producer way back then. I don't know where our producer was at that point, but we did a show called Kill 'Em All.
Oh.
So that was songs with Kill in the title.
Oh, okay.
Today we are doing Kill Bomb. We will play songs with either Kill or Bomb in the title. I bet there's a song out there called Kill Bomb.
Maybe, at least a band.
That's a band name, right?
Yeah.
The reason we're doing this is Murray has an upcoming comedy tour.
Yeah.
You got a lot of gigs coming up.
I got a lot of this will probably drop after.
Mm-hmm. But the ASAP Club will hear it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, starting next week in Seattle on October 23rd.
Also, the words kill and bomb relate to stand-up comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Because you either kill.
Which is good.
or you bomb.
Which is Siegel. Why am I bagging on Siegel so much?
That's why he's so sad.
Oh, is that why he's on?
That's you don't kill or bomb. You could have an okay set. You could have an in-between set.
Absolutely.
But you want to kill and you don't want to bomb.
You don't want to bomb.
No.
No. What was your batting average? I don't know. Don't use an actual batting average because I don't know what that means.
Batting average.
Well, what was your ratio from kill to bombs? Do you think you bombed more? Did you kill more? Did you have more okay sets?
I was probably more, you know, I never headlined. I got to the feature spot and that's where I was.
That's the golden spot. It's hard to bomb. Not saying that I've never bombed in the middle spot. I have, but it's hard to bomb in the middle
probably
spot.
Probably more bombing came when you start out and you're opening or when you overbook yourself when you're not ready to headline and you headline.
Oh, I think that's a move every comic does.
That's a mistake because you just...
But you have to. And you know, all right, I'm not
you
want
to try it.
Yeah.
And you want that money.
Yeah.
You want that extra $50 on a one-nighter or an extra whatever it is.
Right.
But I think I would have a solid, you know, a 7 or 8 out of 10 when I was...
Good.
You know, I mean,
starting out, that's pretty good.
Also, if I was bombing, I didn't just power through. Mm-hmm. I would acknowledge that I was bombing.
I think that's the...
And then try to make fun of myself.
Sure.
For bombing. Because the worst thing is when someone's bombing, he knows he's bombing. The audience knows he's bombing. And he just keeps going like he's not bombing.
Right.
And I think if you let the audience know, hey, I know this is not going well... You can win some people over.
Oh, absolutely. I think
you can at least get some smiles.
Yeah. And for the most part, you can probably win a motor that way because there's a connection between the audience and the comic, you know, and they see what's going on and you see what's going on. And if you're ignoring it, then it makes them more uncomfortable. And then when I watch when I watch people bomb, they don't know what they're doing and they continue and burn through it.
Yep.
They're supposed to do 20 minutes, but they're getting no laughs. So they burn through 20 minutes of material in 12 minutes.
12 minutes.
And then they got 8 minutes of nothing.
They got 8 more minutes to bomb.
Only one time.
Now, when you're in the back of the room and your friend's up there and he's bombing, that's the best set.
Oh, are you kidding? That's just, we live for that.
Yeah.
We live for that.
Comes off. They said, fuck you. You know, you just like laugh.
Only one time did I pull an opener off the stage from the sound. You can just say, I'll make up her time. And that was like 2 years ago. And she was an opener and the booker put her up to middle as a test and she wasn't ready.
No.
And she was supposed to do a half hour and she got about 12 minutes into it, 15 minutes into it. And I went to the sound guy, I go, man, I never do this, but lighter, I'll make up the time. I promise.
Good for you.
Well, she was walking people.
Yeah.
You know, she was literally walking the audience and I don't ever want to do that.
Yeah.
But it was like, I don't want to go up there. There's 200 people here. Yeah. I don't want to go up there in front of 75 who are pissed and bitter and angry. Yeah. And then I told the booker, the booker's like, how's she doing? I'm like, you know what? I'm not being a jerk or anything, but I don't think she's ready.
Yeah.
And he said, can you talk to her for me? No.
No, it's not my
it's
job.
Your fucking job, man.
As far as killing goes, that would depend. Like there would be certain clubs where I'd be like, oh, I'm here for the week. I always have good shows here. Mm-hmm. And you would just, I don't know if it was internal that you would just, and you just do great shows there.
Yeah.
Just something about it. One nighters. That's a crapshoot.
Oh, absolutely.
Probably more often bomb than not.
Absolutely.
The situation's not good. You're in the corner of the bar next to the salad bar. They turn off the sports games.
Sometimes.
For the comedy or they leave it on.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. That's what I was talking about this with somebody the other day. I feel like bombing after you've been in it a while and you're established and, you know what you're doing. Bombing usually happens circumstantially.
Yeah.
Not the performance in your material. It's usually like I had a really crappy set. I would say I bombed, but the booker said I didn't, but you always, but it was, I was headlining a benefit in a yacht club. Mm-hmm. You know, and they had a half hour break between the opener and me, and they served dessert. So everybody was into their ice cream when I went on. So it's circumstantial a lot of times.
Then it's circumstantial where the situation's all bad, the setup, the lighting, everything. And then the room that booked you will get mad at you if you make fun of the circumstance. They'll go, hey, why'd you make fun of the lighting? And I'm like, well, because it's not perfect and it got laughs.
And everybody knows.
Yeah, but you're making fun of our place. I'm like, all right.
Everybody's thinking it.
Can I have my $75?
and my drink ticket.
What was the other thing I was going to say? And then there are comedians like, you know, Seinfeld would probably be one of these people that says, It's never a bad audience. It's your job to, and I'm like, okay.
Lewis Black said that. I know that for a fact.
It's never a bad audience. Okay.
Yeah, and I fucking disagree with that 100%.
I do disagree with that. But look, sometimes it's not a bad audience. It's more the circumstance.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what I agree on.
Like this sounds great in my headphones right now, but when it's a bad sound system and you're trying to do your act, it's horrible.
Oh yeah. I was working in Vegas one time and, for some reason the fire alarm kept going off.
Terrific.
And I was supposed to do 15 minutes and, the manager just let me up there to swing because I was opening.
Okay.
I was opening the show and he just left me up there and I would go and it would stop and I would start it and then all of a sudden, and I went up, I was up there for like 45 minutes and I finally get off and I'm like, why did you do that? He's like, oh, I didn't want the headliner to deal with it.
Wow. All right. Well, I guess so.
It was kind of, I was like, I think it was also kind of a trial by fire for me also. Right. He was, so. Yeah, well, look, a lot of things can happen differently.
We're 27 minutes in. We have played music. We played a UFO song and we played the Who Overture.
Yes.
So let's get into this.
All right.
Kill Bomb, songs with kill
or are we going
bomb.
Kill Bomb, or all kill, all bomb?
Whatever. I have them back and forth, but you can play whatever you want.
All right, cool.
There's no rules.
Am I starting this?
Why not? Who
Good.
Cares?
Yeah, who no cares?
One, everyone stopped Nobody's listening because we Nobody weren't listens. Playing music.
Right. All right. One of the reviews on iTunes is somebody said they love the show, but they said, we play too much rap. And I can't even tell you the last time I heard a rap song on this show.
Did he listen the one time we played a rap song?
Well, tell him to turn it off now.
What was the topic that day? Rap?
Turn it off, whoever you are, because here's Cypress Hill, How I Could Just Kill a Man. In like 2007, I was working on a TV show and I got into Cypress Hill for literally 72 hours. They would walk into the writer's room and was like, oh, you listen to Cypress Hill? Yeah. The next day, oh, you listen to Cypress Hill? The next day, they're like, why aren't you listening to Cypress Hill? I'm like, I'm done. I got it. I got it.
I don't know where that MP3 came from, but that was recorded very low.
So I know.
Heard,
I don't know what that
you heard
was.
Me turn it up from the computer, like beep, 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 that noise.
Yeah, who knows? I've had that, you know, I literally could have Napstered it if I got it in 2007.
This song I'm going to play is badass.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
This is a killer bomb.
Oh, it's kill.
Ooh.
It's Christmas in Killarney.
The holly green, the ivy green, the prettiest picture you've ever seen is Christmas in Killarney with all of them.
Okay, that's a joke.
I don't like this show already.
That's not really my song.
What is that from?
That's just Bing Crosby's White Christmas album.
Oh, really? I have that.
All right. No, look, that doesn't count. That's not my choice. That was just stupid fun and more stupid than fun. All my songs are either kill or bomb. I don't have bomber or bombing or killing.
I have all
or killer.
I have is the.
That's fine.
The act of.
That's fine.
Okay.
All right.
So maybe a couple first straight bombs.
Here's my first one. This is a classic song, Cherry Bomb, but this is Joan Jett's solo version of Cherry Bomb. I think it's from Glorious Results of a Misspent Youth. Here we go.
It's just a great song. Are those hand claps in there?
Probably.
I couldn't tell if those are hand claps or not.
I assume they are. It's got to be.
Do you like that version better or do you like the original?
I like them both, actually.
Yeah, they're great.
I don't...
There's not enough.
I mean, Joan wrote it with Kim Fowley, so...
But Cherry sang it originally, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
In underwear.
In underwear, yeah.
At like 15.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was wrong with the 70s?
I think it was Kim Fowley and management and
I think Kim Fowley. Yeah. You think Kim Fowley was a decent human being?
No, I don't believe so. All right, what do you got for us?
Can we call an audible and
you can
drop
call
down?
You can just say whatever you want. Just tell me the song and I'll play it.
This is the song, since it's you played Cherry Bomb, this mm-hmm. is You Got Your Cherry Bomb by Spoon off Ga 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 Ga.
So fair, let it go on along. I could lose for good. You got that cherry bomb. Blow out that cherry bomb for me. We lost it long ago. You and me. There you go, your way back from the spirit bomb.
I really got into Spoon on this album.
That's a great song.
And
is this whole album great? That's,
yeah,
I really
the whole,
enjoyed
the whole
that
album
song.
Is really good. This is the only album I really love. I'm sure from the some of the fans I talked to of Rock Solid, there's a lot of Spoon fans. But this, if you want to recommend something for Pat, this is the only one I really, really got into.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
My friend calls him Billy Joel the band.
Then I'd love them.
Yeah. Can you bring up on YouTube? Can you bring up a song? Or is do we have a wire for that today?
No, I think I can do it.
Bring up The Underdog by Spoon. Oh, I can hear you clicking.
This one, we miss Kyle. That's the only thing I miss is when Kyle.
That's the only thing about Kyle you miss?
He looks up stuff.
All right.
No, we do miss Kyle. Get back here, Kyle.
I'd love to have Kyle back here.
Okay, Spoon, The Underdog on YouTube.
Let's you got it? Let's see what happens. Listen to this and tell me this isn't Billy Joel the band.
Okay. I think there's going to be a 30-second ad first. I can skip it in 5 seconds.
Okay.
Is there a YouTube you can purchase to where you can skip ads?
Who doesn't skip the ad?
I know. I just paused right in the middle of the ad. All right, here we go. Now it's going to play. The aspect ratio changed. Spoon, The Underdog.
Picture yourself in a living room. Your pipe and slippers set out for you.
Does that sound like Billy Joel to you?
I know you think that
not the voice, but the
sure.
overall sound.
It could be, yeah.
All right, anyway, I believe that's off the same album. So I highly recommend that album for you, if you like that.
Didn't think I'd have to edit anything, but okay.
No, you need to edit the whole up top.
No, that's fun. That separates us from shows that have people that don't have fun stuff to talk about.
Oh, okay. Like Mike? Mike Siegel, alone in his apartment.
Talks about lonely stuff. This song I'm going to play is from 1981. Here's the band. Here's the band that plays on this whole entire album.
Okay.
Jeff Porcaro on drums.
Mm-hmm.
John Regan on bass.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Lukather on guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget who's on keyboard. So that's the band. And the album is Breaking All the Rules. It's a Peter Frampton album.
Wow.
So Frampton's all... You got Lukather and Frampton.
Two guitar gods.
And,
unsung guitar gods. Yep,
and I love this song. I mean, I love this album, and this is a pretty good song. It's called You Kill Me. Recorded right here in LA at the A&M Studios, the Charlie Chaplin soundstage.
That's over on La Brea.
La Brea, across from, what's the strip club across from there?
I don't know. We just passed it on the way to Who the other day. It's either Perfect. Seven Bales or Crazy Girls or one of those.
Perfect place for a strip club because when bands are in there recording, they take a break, they can walk across the
street. Then it became...
The Henson.
Henson. And then it became A&M or Beck or...
I think it's still Henson.
Yeah, because there's a big Kermit the Frog on top of it. Okay.
That's where We Are the World was recorded and, you know, all that.
The Stones recorded a bunch of stuff there.
Yeah.
Who wrote that song?
That song was written by Peter Frampton.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's keep a little. I got a lot of mellow songs for.
Did you like that song? Did you like that song?
I liked it. I liked it. I was going to say I liked it.
All right. Cool.
So it makes me wonder if I'd like the rest of the album.
The whole album's great.
Since that was your favorite.
Yeah. You know what? That just came out of my mouth. I love that song.
Okay.
I don't have a favorite on the album. The whole album's as solid as that song is.
Mm-hmm.
So if you like that song, you like the whole album.
Right.
But it's one of those when Frampton just wasn't selling albums.
Yeah. Well, didn't Frampton just sell one album?
Yep.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Does he ever play, like, did you see him this past?
No.
Have you ever seen him live?
Yes.
Who was he? Was he with Humble Pie?
When I saw him live, no.
No, it was, was he originally with Humble Pie?
Yes.
Does he play any Humble Pie tunes?
I think so.
Okay.
I think maybe one.
Okay.
You know, I saw him at the Greek Theater and it was John Waite, and then Peter Frampton and then Journey.
Oh, that's it. That's the perfect Pat.
It's the perfect,
the perfect Pat show ever.
Yeah. And Neil Sean came out and played a song with John Waite.
Oh, when you couldn't get it, when it couldn't get any better for Pat, Neil Sean comes out.
Right.
That's fantastic. Now all you just need is a drunk guy standing next to you.
I know. Always.
All right. I don't know why all my songs that have bomb and kill in the title are really mellow.
All right.
So let me just jump around and get something. Let's go with...
Just like your act.
Let's go with the Talking Heads, Psycho Kill.
Kiskase.
Seem to face up to the fact. Tense and nervous, and I can't relax. Can't sleep, bed's on fire. Don't touch me, I'm a real life wire. Psycho killer, kiskase.
Man, if you get a chance and go and you got time on YouTube, go just Google Stop Making Sense concert, the movie. It is fantastic.
Yeah.
Yep. It is. Their version of Life During Wartime is, dude, I would pay. That's probably the only band I would pay a ton of money to see if they ever got back together.
Never knew that was a cover.
Of Stop Making Sense?
No, no.
Life During Wartime?
Isn't that a cover song?
Possibly. I didn't know that either. Let me see. Who do you think originally did it?
I don't know. I could be wrong.
It could be. Why?
Just when you said their version of Life During Wartime,
I meant
the live version.
I meant the version of Life During Wartime on Making Sense.
It's not a cover.
Yeah, song by Catiano Veloso and David Byrne.
All right, so it's not a cover.
Mm-mm. I don't know why you thought that.
I don't either. The way you said it, and then in my head, it popped in my head like, oh, that's a cover song.
Mm.
It says songwriters Byrne, Franz, Harrison, and Weymouth.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not a cover at all.
No.
I know what I know, and I admit when I don't know it.
Okay. Well, what I looked up was a cover version by Catiano.
So we don't know anything.
We're
both idiots.
We should not host a music podcast.
Not this early.
Oh, no
Not
way.
At 2 in the afternoon.
Oh, man. I just woke up.
This is from 1995. The album was produced by Rick Rubin. This band is still around, supposed to have new music out next year and a tour, probably their final tour. This album's called Ball Breaker. The band is AC/DC.
Mm-hmm.
I know I've played this before. This is Love Bomb.
Yeah.
Don't scare nobody. I am not lying when I say this. Literally on the drive over here today, Shoot to Thrill comes on.
It's great.
And I usually turn it off because I've heard it so many times.
Right.
But I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to listen to this. I haven't listened to it in a while. And I was over, I'm like, God damn, this is good. I got to listen to more AC/DC. And then you play that fucking turd.
It's so funny. Like, you could definitely call that a turd, and yet I don't see anything wrong with that turd.
Listen, I like plenty of crappy music, man. Strong. I get it. I like plenty of crappy music, too. But it's so weird. It's just, yeah. Sometimes a crap song clicks with you. Sometimes it doesn't.
I know. Brian Johnson hosts an interview show now on Access TV.
Wait, does he host it or was he a guest on?
He was a guest on Dan Rather, which was a kind of a cross promotion for his show.
Oh, I didn't know that.
His show is the same as Dan Rather's show.
Except
they both have shows I want. Can't they be comfortable with the careers they already have? Do they now have to interview rockers?
That's like celebrities doing podcasts, man.
Oh, my God. Conan O'Brien has a podcast. Yeah, Conan O'Brien has a TV show for 25 years.
So lame.
I've said this, like if you wanted to go have a TV show, you just can't go have a TV show.
Right, right, right.
But anyone can have a podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, you won, dude. You won.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you won the lottery. Now you, and then they all have great guests. Conan O'Brien's going to sit down with Adam Sandler. And you know what I mean? It's just like, come on, man. Neil Peart from Rush will sit down with...
Or if you're going to do something cool and different like Kevin Nealon. Where he just goes on hikes with his friends.
Yeah, that's cool.
And that's kind of cool and interesting. You're just basically listening to a Conan O'Brien show.
Here's what my fear is, because we live in L.A. The more gigantic celebrities in L.A. that have podcasts and then start to have musical guests on. I mean, I already have to compete with Maron, who can get anyone, because he has a publicist and stuff.
Sure.
This is a grassroots campaign.
Right.
When I get someone in here, it's a miracle.
That's what I love about podcasting. And I've been podcasting for close to 11 years, and I've done panels at Comic-Con on it, at the Writers Guild, and everybody is always, you know, how do you monetize? How do you get advertisers? And I'm just always like, find your own way to make your money. Because once you get out, this is guerrilla radio. This isn't covered by FCC.
I know.
You can say fuck. You can have whoever you want on.
Cocksucker.
You can do anything you want.
Motherfucker.
Like, let it be.
Stop making sense.
Let it be what it is.
The Beatles, let it be.
Let Pat continue to do stuff like this.
Yeah. But, I mean, my fear is that it's going to be like, hey, would blah, blah, blah like to do the show? Nah, they're going to do Maron, and then they're doing Conan. And then it's like, oh, so now I'm competing with those guys.
And then they're going to have that clause, like, if you play Coachella, you can't play Los Angeles with 6 months before or six months after.
I mean, luckily I have a list. A big list of people that have done the show, and that's what I use to get other people to do the show.
You get some great guests, man.
Yeah. So I mean, what are you going to do? I keep trying.
Listen, just play them a clip of you interviewing somebody, a clip Maron have interviewed, and they'll realize, oh, Pat knows what he's talking about. Maron doesn't.
Maron, it's such a rough when he has a musical guest, because I've only listened a few times when he has other, like when he has comedian guests on, and those are good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not going to say he's terrible.
Right.
He's just not good when he has a music person on, because he doesn't even bother to do the research or anything.
But yeah, like you've had people on, and I won't say who they are, who you're not technically a fan of, or don't know their catalog. No.
I wasn't super familiar, but I get
but
familiar.
But you get familiar with them. You would never know. I know which ones you are and aren't.
I don't want them coming in here and then being like, my fucking guy didn't know what the fuck he was doing.
So how long have you been playing bass? I play keyboards.
Yeah, so what's that like? I mean, is it different like than playing drums?
All right, let's kill a song right now. No, let's bomb a song.
Love bomb.
Let's bomb a song.
Bomb love. Which one?
One of my favorite bands, the old 97s.
Okay.
It's probably their biggest song. This is Time Bomb.
Here we go.
Turn it up loud, Captain.
Whispering when I walk by.
Let me tell you, I'm a huge fan of the old 97s. Mm-hmm. Rhett Miller is a great songwriter.
Good song.
Murray Hammond is an amazing bass player. Mm-hmm. But the key to that band is Ken Bethea, the guitar player, because all those songs are just riff heavy like that. And if you take those, I think that is the key to that band, is that guitar player.
Well, I'm going to call an audible right now, Murray, because you played a song by the old 97s called Time Bomb. So we're about to have a title fight, and it's a battle royale. Guess who just jumped into the ring to play a song called Time Bomb? The Ramones.
Oh, right, of course. That's great.
What's weird about that song is that doesn't sound like Joey on vocals.
Oh, really? I didn't pick that up at all.
I mean, the way it's recorded, it does not sound, to me, it doesn't sound like Joey. You mean, you want to hear the...
Or just whatever you just heard. Oh, I disagree.
His voice is in the, like, he doesn't have that Joey Ramone sound to me.
I just think it's, I think he's. You know what I think it
is? Oh my God, you know why?
Why?
That's Dee Dee on vocals.
Really? It sounds like.
Yes. That's Dee Dee.
It sounds like Joey to me, man.
It doesn't sound like Joey to me at all. And that's why.
Wow, all right.
Wow.
Wow.
We never knew that.
We're just full of swings and misses today, man.
Boy, we don't know anything about music. I don't know anything about music.
Wow, we're like a couple of Marins over here.
Here we go. A bunch of ladies, four of them, just jumped into the ring.
Broads?
Yeah, broads, including friend of the show, broad Kathy Valentine. This is her band, the Blue Bonnets, with Time Bomb.
I'm a walking time bomb. A temper tantrum waiting to happen. Well, you seduce me one last time. Put me on a pedestal and change your mind. Gonna be a big bang, better hold on. Hold on, hold on. Disconnect me.
What do you think of that?
Eh, it's okay.
That's her partner, musical partner, and singer and bassist Dominique Davalos.
Not police detective partner.
Not her life partner.
Oh, okay. But who's her life partner?
I don't know. She's divorced.
Okay.
If she was married, she has a daughter.
Okay.
I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, I didn't realize you guys were married.
Here's the thing.
At one point.
I've proven that I don't know anything today, so I don't want to start throwing.
She doesn't have a daughter.
She doesn't have a daughter. What if she heard the show and goes, I've been married for 25 years. Same man.
So, yeah. Anyway. And you're worried about competing with me. Okay. So, hey, man, have you watched the country documentary at all? The Ken Burns country documentary on PBS?
Not yet, but people have been telling me it's good.
Dude. It sounds like we're doing an ad for it.
It's
fantastic, man. And I'll be honest with you. The first episode is a little slow.
What are they talking about? Jug bands? Like someone's got
before that stuff. Like before really it became country music. Mm-hmm. It was country and western. Before that, it was called hillbilly music. And but man, I'm telling you, it gets really good, especially when you get up into the. When Mount Elvis and Cash come in the 50s.
When Kenny Chesney comes
in. I haven't got that far yet.
I don't know. I haven't watched any of it yet.
Okay.
Is it on PBS?
It's on PBS. And man, but when you get into the 60s and 70s, Oh, it is really good. It is really good. Right. And I just finished the episode with focusing on George Jones.
I know. Then I know what song we're going to play.
Yes. And this is If Drinking Don't Kill Me, Her Memory Will.
On Rock Solid.
The podcast.
Is this a Rock Solid exclusive?
Yes. This just came out years after he died.
If drinking. I can't hold out much longer the way that I feel with the blood from my body. I could start my own steel, but if drinking don't
so good, man.
Now, what's funny is if I write across the whiteboard at the top, I write the word music and then I draw a line underneath it. I can list this song and Love Bomb. They're all under the heading that there's both of those songs are under the heading of music.
Right, right.
George Jones and AC/DC.
Yeah. Oh, but it's so good.
Music is vast, Murray. That's
what I'm trying to say.
That's
what I like about it. And it doesn't bother me, but I just think you're missing when somebody says, oh yeah, man, I don't like that style of music, or I don't like that genre of music.
Well, look, I like heavy metal, but I don't like all heavy metal. I like country. I don't like all country.
Absolutely. I like rap. I don't like all rap.
I don't like all punk.
Yeah. So why would somebody be like, you know what? I don't like hip hop.
You mean so dismissive of me?
Yeah. Like, I don't like country. I don't like metal. I mean, if you can't find something good in any genre of music, then you're not looking.
Yeah. Now, if you tell me I don't like music, then that's a different thing.
Yeah. Then I'm like, well, fuck you. I went out with a girl. We got a first date and she said she wasn't really into music.
She didn't own a stereo.
She didn't know. And I was like, okay. All right.
When I was looking for some new female people to bring in after April left, one of the people I asked, she told me, she goes, I'm not really. I just listen to the radio and, you know.
Is that Pilar?
No. I was like, I'm shocked because I thought this was going to be a go.
Really? You have to tell me who that is and why you would think she would be into music. You must not have known her that well.
No, I know her enough.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
All right.
But, what are you going to do?
Highly recommend the documentary, Country Music on PBS, Ken Burns.
This woman does not recommend it. She doesn't like music.
No, she doesn't like music? Huh.
From 1984, the album is called Read My Lips. The artist, this is his solo album away from the band, his first solo album away from his band. I will tell you something about this guy. I'm not going to tell you his name. I'm just going to tell you something about him, and you'll know who it is. This guy does not want to go to the fucking valley. This song is called Thrill of the Kill.
So good.
You saw him yell at me.
I saw the whole, I was over. I was,
you were there. You're my witness.
I was there. I can attest to everything. I was talking to Prairie Prince.
Mm-hmm.
We have a mutual friend, Bobby Slayton. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what's that scuffle over there? And I turn around and Fee Wabel's in your face.
Oh, that's your band. That's your lead singer and my friend. And yet I got to go to his house and spend 3 hours.
Right. And you invited me along, but I couldn't go.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny. I remember I made the mistake first of all, their guitar player, fantastic. What do you know his name offhand?
Oh my God, I do know his name, but I'm having an
okay. That guy, I was so
he was amazing.
Blown away by his guitar playing that night. It was fantastic, yeah, and
we need to give him props because he is so good. And I think I tweeted at him, and he liked it, and I think he might have even said thank you.
And I walked up to him while you're looking up and I said, oh man, I was really blown away by your guitar playing, man. It was fantastic.
Roger Steen. He's an original member.
Yeah.
And he's fantastic.
And I said, this is so great. This is the first time I've ever seen you guys. And he said, why?
Well,
that's a good point. That's a good valid point. That's valid.
And because we've never seen him live, we've only heard what he does on record. But live, he's amazing.
Yeah, listen to that guitar on record. He replicates that. That's live. That's not studio work.
That would be what you would call an underrated guitarist.
Absolutely. 100% agree.
Because, you know, what are you going to do?
I understand. 100%.
All right. What's your next tune?
Oh, was that you? That was
I played Thrill of the Kill by my friend, Fee Wable.
All right. Let's bring it down a little bit to the band Echo and the Bunnymen.
Okay. Perfect.
This is The Killing Moon. It opens Donnie Darko. Are you up on your Echo and the Bunnymen?
No, but when I hear songs like, and I feel like I've heard that song before, sure. When I hear songs that I don't know or know, I always like them. Did the Donnie Darko soundtrack only have artists that had like bunny or rabbit or something? Like, I'm actually being serious. Did that soundtrack only have those type of artists?
No, because Gary Jules did the cover of the Tears for Fears song that got the huge airplay on that.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah, that's great. Echo and the Bunnymen do one of my favorite all-time songs, Bring on the Dancing Horses.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
That's just one of my, what do you call them, a mental patient song?
Yeah, song that you could just listen to over.
Yeah, it's
just
definitely one of my top 10.
Like Mary's Prayer.
Yes, that's a great song.
Or Cruel to Be Kind would be one for me.
Bono is on record in the 80s as saying he just wanted to be as good a songwriter as Ian McCulloch from Echo and the Bunnymen.
No, keep working on it.
Yeah, hopefully someday.
I'll play a song from a soundtrack then. Since you played that one, I will play a song called Time Bomb Town.
Ooh.
I think you're going to like this song.
Okay.
This is, do you want to know the artist?
I want to know the movie.
Surprised. Back to the Future.
Is it Huey?
It's not Huey.
Wait, which Back to the Future?
The first one. Do you just want to be surprised?
Yeah, okay.
You'll know who it is.
All right, let me hear it.
Here we go.
Marvin Berry? Heard this.
I got some strange information.
This is Lindsay, right?
Yeah.
Lindsay Buckingham?
It's hard to find.
Okay.
There must be about a million a single ways to go down. Cause I'm a lonely stranger in this time bomb town. Ooh. I got some strange information.
It was hard to find until last year when he released his solo anthology.
Do you have that?
I do. I have the get the 3-disc version, and you're going to get like Holiday Road and the flip side of that and Time Bomb Town and a whole bunch of cool stuff and some live stuff. Do you want me to send that to you? And then if you like it, you'll purchase it?
Absolutely. I was just going to say, I love Lindsey Buckingham solo 80s stuff.
Yeah. So that is from the 80s for sure.
Yeah.
When did the movie come out? 1985, right? Drop you right in the center.
Right in the middle.
Right in the center.
What's that? I Think I'm in Trouble. That's a good song.
I'm in trouble.
What's the one with the video with the mirror that he put his hands through?
Oh. So I Go.
Yes. That was that song. Oh, that's a good song. That's a good song.
It was I.
What did you just play? A kill or a bomb?
I played Time Bomb Town.
So I should play a kill?
Whatever you want to do.
All right. Let's see if I got any up-tempo kill songs. All my kill songs are mellow. All right. Here we go. This is a cover of Video Killed the Radio Star by the self-proclaimed wussy punk Ben Folds.
Five?
Ben Folds 5. Well, there's Ben Folds Solo, and then there's Ben Folds 5. Listen to the bass in this.
Okay.
If I were young and didn't stop
This is a bonus track off of Whatever and Ever, Amen. Mm-hmm.
Deluxe edition.
Yeah, deluxe edition, one of those things. And what I love about, and I love this album. I Rock in the Suburbs, other people might like a lot more. I don't listen to more Ben Folds than that. But what I love about this album is that fuzz bass is all over this album.
It's pretty cool.
And they recorded it live in studio. So they didn't overdub. They didn't go back, all right, you play your part, then Ben will play his part, and then we'll put in the vocals. Mm-hmm. Everything is done top to bottom in one take.
All right.
I mean, cool. I'm sure it took 4 or 5 takes each, but they used to, they start it and they end it, and that's what you're getting. And I love it. It sounds great.
All right. I like that. I've heard that version before, and I do like mm-hmm. it. It's pretty cool.
And of course, Whatever and Ever, Amen has the really the best song about abortion ever.
Brick.
Brick.
It's a great tune.
It's a good song.
Their most popular tune.
I know. It's kind of weird.
I never knew it was about abortion until someone pointed that out to me. It's one of those ones where you just listen to lyrics and you don't.
This is nice. This is sweet.
Sweet. Mm. Love it. Oh, it's about abortion. Love it even more. No. Let me tell you on some guests I'm working for to close out the year. Again, none of these confirmed.
Christy Stratton.
But that would be a great get at this point. It'd be a big get.
I watched Bless the Hearts, her show on the other.
I watched the first one so far. I have not watched last week's yet.
I don't know which one.
She does Dawn.
The character
is Dawn.
The stripper. Mm-hmm. And I texted her while I'm watching. I'm like, is that your voice?
Yeah.
As a stripper? Mm-hmm. And she wrote back, it is indeed. And I wrote, all my dreams have come true.
she go, ha ha! Oh, Murray. What kind of research did she have to do for that?
Well, I don't know. You have to ask her.
We'll talk when she's here for the year in review.
Well, why don't we just go ahead and decide what she did since we're lying about everything else today?
That's true.
Making shit up as we go along.
Okay, I'm going to throw out, and again, this is just maybe to get people excited, even though none of it's confirmed. Here's some guests I'm working on to close out this year. We are currently in October. October.
Captain and Tennille.
Don't put it past me. Did the captain pass, though?
I want to say he did.
Then it would just be Tennille. And I would be, I don't know, the skipper and Tennille.
Maybe.
Here we go. You ready for these?
Purser?
Liz Phair.
You've been working on Liz for a long time.
But her people have said, yeah, let's try to do this after the book tour.
Oh, that's great.
The book tour ends, like, I think, in 4 days. So
if you're looking for a co-host, I'm a huge Liz Phair fan. I've seen her live.
I'll probably sit here across from her by myself.
I know you will.
Ace Frehley.
If you're looking for a co-host, ask somebody else. I'm surprised Ace hasn't done it.
I know. He's coming through in November, and his people have said, hey, that might be something we can do.
You know who you should get to co-host that?
Who?
Courtney Cronin.
Is she going to fangirl out too much, though?
Maybe.
I feel like she's met.
Oh, she's met Ace. She's toured. She's opened for Ace.
As far as having a co-host for the interviews, I don't really do that anymore. Now, look, let's say I was going to have Bono in. You would get a call.
I would fucking kill you.
You would get a call.
I would kill you if you did.
Even if it was just to watch and meet him, you'd get a call. So I always have that on that. Like if someone pops in my head that I know, oh, is a huge fan of this person, you know.
Right.
Okay, so those two. Belinda Carlisle.
Oh, that's nice. I like that.
Yeah. Because we can talk about Go-Go's and then her tongue. She's more solo music than she does Go-Go's music.
And her Playboy spread.
Okay. That's not helping.
But it's true.
I'm not going to ask about that.
Why not? She did it.
I know, but you got to be a gentleman.
You know that? That's a good looking broad.
And who's my favorite band?
Cheap Trick.
Tom Peterson.
Bunny Carlos.
Tom Peterson. Tom Peterson from Cheap Trick.
The bass player?
Mm-hmm. He's my favorite.
Oh, really?
He is.
Now, is he the first bass player or the replacement bass player?
He's the original bass player.
Okay. And he's and he a left car for salesman
four
now?
Years. No, he's still in the band.
Oh, who's the car salesman?
Bunny?
Maybe.
So those are the four people that I got on the hook.
That's great. That's good.
Now, they're on the hook.
Right.
They're not ready to be pulled into the boat yet.
Sure.
But I'm working on it.
Have you thought of maybe trying to get somebody from, you know, today?
Liz Phair has a book out.
Okay.
And that's the one. I don't want Maren to get, like, get her in a second.
Sure, absolutely.
He doesn't know anything.
Right.
He doesn't know about it. But so girls play music. What's that like?
But I mean, have you thought of, you know, and they're all great and they're all definitely in Pat's wheelhouse, but have you ever thought about going outside your wheelhouse and something, you know,
George Jones?
Foo, he's dead. like food? I'm trying, but you know what? I might be just proving your own point to myself. I'm trying to think of great rock bands around now, and it's just the Foo Fighters. But have you thought about getting Dave or Taylor? Taylor's on the comedy scene a lot.
Yeah, I mean,
or even Shiflett.
Yeah, because we could talk about Shiflett. He's out sweeping the front of the building right now. Yeah, he's got two country albums, and I played a song of his a couple weeks ago.
Oh, I think I played on the Best Of. My buddy Joe Sibb helped produce that album, I think, cool. And he sent me the album. It's pretty good.
All right. Now, I'm going to play a Kill song, but I'm going to let you decide. Do you want to hear something that I almost positive you'll like, or something that I'm almost positive you'll hate?
I think I speak for all of the Rock Solid listeners. Both.
Okay, well, I'm eventually going to play them both, but what do you want to hear right this second?
Surprise me. I'll tell you if I like it or hate it. How's that?
This is from 1981. The album's called Dead Ringer. The artist is Meatloaf. And the song is I'll Kill You If You Don't Come Back. Now, listen to Meatloaf's voice. This is the album that followed Bat Out of Hell.
Okay.
Why do you think this album didn't do well? Wait till you hear his voice.
Okay. Don't
I'm talking jade, about his voice.
Don't jade me on this.
Okay.
I want to make my own decision. I swear to you, and this is from the bottom of my newly refurbished heart, I wanted to like that. I wanted to surprise you and say I liked it.
Yeah.
What is going on with his voice? He sounds like he's doing this.
He burnt that voice on the Bat Out of Hell tour. And I mean, this album comes out 4 years after that album.
How long did he tour on that album?
Bat Out of Hell for three years and 11 months.
What?
Here's who's on this album.
Did Steinman write all this stuff?
Wrote all the songs written by Steinman.
It doesn't sound like a bad song.
Yeah, I mean, it's 6 minutes and some seconds. Here's who plays on the album. Davey Johnstone, Roy Bittan, Max Weinberg, Liberty DeVito.
Mm-hmm. Well, great drummers.
Cher.
Great drummer.
Let me see who played drums on that song. Kill You If You Don't Come Back was track four. Let me see. I'm hunting around. I'm searching. Yeah, that was Max Weinberg on that song. So, the voice is so bad on this album. Some songs are really good, but I mean, the voice is still not great.
So you would think. I don't know. I mean, I think it would be a good song if the voice was
strong.
If the voice better. I don't know if he did. He become a character of himself.
If you pick
a character of himself,
his voice is exquisite on Bat Out of Hell. Like, if he sounded like he did on Bat Out of Hell, this maybe would sell some records.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
So. Was he producing himself? Did he have a producer in there?
He did not produce it himself.
Okay.
You can't let Meatloaf do that. Jimmy Iovine.
What? Jimmy, you're letting me down, bud.
Stephen Gallis.
I don't know Stephen.
It lists Meatloaf and Jim Steinman, too, but I don't think Steinman had anything to do with this album. I don't think so.
I thought he wrote everything on it.
He did, but then I think they parted ways.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But you're just
it wasn't Rundgren for sure.
You're coming off a mega, mega
produced
hit.
By Rundgren.
Oh, it is produced by Rundgren.
The original.
Oh.
Bat Out of Hell is produced
by Rundgren. Yeah. But you're coming, it's typical record industry. As a guy who's never been involved in the record industry, you get a mega hit like that, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And then they do whatever they want, and then it fucking fails miserably.
4 years between albums, though. I even think the heat was off of them at that point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right. What do you got for us? you can play.
Let's pick it up.
Yeah, let's do something good.
If
you're still out there, here we go.
There are two bands. I've said this about the Cult a long time ago.
What if I had Ian Asbury here? Would that be okay with you?
Oh, I would love it.
But they're a classic band. That's not a new
band.
I'm
not saying don't get the classic bands.
Okay. Just get people you like.
Yeah, just get people I like.
All right.
I want to listen to this stuff on the road.
Okay.
All right. I said this about The Cult. They every song sounds like the same song, but that song fucking rocks.
Yeah, right.
True. And I've said, and I ended up saying it about this band, Rage Against the Machine, and this is Calm Like a Bomb. Off Battle Los Angeles.
Well, that happened right here.
Rhyme, never forget.
The rhyme of the unheard.
What you say, 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 what you say,
oh man,
that's a great song. I've never heard that before.
My apologies to my wife, because Rage Against the Machine is going in heavy rotation this week, and we have Apple TV at our TV in the living room.
All right, elitist.
Well, you know, and so I play.
Seriously, you have a TV?
Yeah, yeah. So I play music through the Apple TV, and I get on these Jags, and for like 3 weeks, it was the Grateful Dead. And then it was Morrissey for like 3 weeks. And then it was Brian Ferry and Roxy Music for 3 weeks. And lately it's been Sturgill Simpson since his latest album came out. If you haven't got the new Sturgill Simpson album, get it. It's fantastic. And so it's been all Sturgill Simpson.
Did that come out in 2019, right?
That came out 2 weeks ago.
Oh, so that's going to be in your year in review.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Okay. Absolutely.
Possibly your favorite album of 2019?
I can honestly say it is my favorite album of 2019.
Okay.
So now it's going to be all Rage Against the Machine for the next week, and she's going to hate me.
Zach De La Rocha.
De La Rocha. I don't know what he's doing, man. I think he put out a solo album.
How come, I mean, did they not get along, the band members?
You know, I don't know. I have to ask
Tom Morello him. I feel like he gets along with everyone.
How do you not get along with Tom Morello?
Yeah, I mean, he inducted Kiss into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and he toured with Springsteen. Seems like he likes everything.
Yeah. I saw him at the Oscars this year, and he was in a tuxedo, and it's one of those kind of like out of...
Baseball hat or not baseball
no
hat?
No baseball hat.
So you thought it was Cory Booker.
Yeah. But it was one of those where I kept going, I think that's Tom Morello. I don't want it to be that Tom Morello guy. Why would Tom Morello be here? And then thank God for Google Images. Because then I Google Images, yes. And I'm like, oh, that is Tom Morello. And then by the time he was gone, so I didn't get to meet him. I did the same thing with David Ellefson from Megadeth the other night. Was at my show.
Okay.
And I thought it was him, and I wasn't sure it was him. And then I Google Images, and I was like, it was him. And then I like, let's get a picture.
And you did.
And I did, and I sent it to you.
This is from 1983. People always say I don't play enough Bob Dylan. I think Christine Blackburn and possibly David Wilde also, I put it out to him. I think we're going to try to do a Dylan 70s episode before the end of the year.
I've seen Dylan 4 times.
I've seen him once.
He was good once.
I saw him once. He was not good that time.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody, I need to see him 3 more times.
Absolutely. Somebody just played recently in Southern California, like this week, mm-hmm. I think. And I have to find out how it was.
Doesn't mean he's not good on record. Doesn't mean he's not an amazing songwriter. It doesn't mean he's not legendary.
Doesn't mean people can't cover his great songs.
But in 2019, maybe not great. And I saw him about 6 years ago at Bumbershoot. 3 minutes into the song before you were I know what it is now.
He's I have to mention something, and I don't want to, I know Christine Blackburn listens to this, but she, when you did your covers episode.
Yes.
And she was talking about the Manfred Mann cover of
Blinded by the Light.
Light. And she said that it's a common mistake that people hear Wrapped Up Like a Douche.
Mm-hmm.
When in all actuality, when they're listening to Manfred Mann's, they are hearing Wrapped Up Like a Douche, but it was originally written Wrapped Deuce, Up Like a Deuce.
Which I don't even know what that means.
That's a car.
Oh, it is. Oh, Deuce Coupe.
Yeah, Deuce Coupe.
But why is it wrapped up?
I don't know. I'm not a car guy. But in England, when they started covering, this one made me think of it because they started covering Dylan, they covered Quinn the Eskimo, Hendrix covered All Along the Watchtower, and that kind of era, they didn't know what a deuce was, so they just said douche.
All right. That's weird. I think they'd... They could have said
research?
Dude. They could have said wrapped up like a dude.
Oh, that's gay.
No. 1983 from the album Infidels. This is Bob Dylan with a song called License to Kill.
What year?
83.
He can do with it as he please. And if things don't change soon, he will. Oh, a man has invented his doom. First step was touching the moon. Now there's a woman on my block. She'll just sit there as the night grows still. She'll say, who gonna take away his license to kill?
So good. So good.
Produced by, co-produced, the album was co-produced by Dylan and Mark Knopfler.
Oh, all right. Oh, I could hear that.
The band on this album, these are the only players on this album, Bob Dylan, Alan Clark, Sly Dunbar, Mark Knopfler, Robbie Shakespeare, and Mick Taylor.
Who's Larry Clark?
Larry Clark is a comedian, I believe. Alan Clark.
Oh, who's Alan? You're thinking Lenny
Clark.
Alan Clark
is from Dire Straits.
Oh, okay.
Knopfler brought him along.
Okay.
Come on.
Was he a keyboard player?
What does he? Yeah, he's keyboard. That's okay. His instrument of choice. I didn't know his keyboard.
Name. All right. That was cool. I like that. I could definitely hear the Knopfler influence on it now that you mention it. Was that that was Kill, right? Bless you.
Hold on.
Okay. One more?
I'm good.
All right. That was Kill, right?
That was a kill, but you know.
I know. I just want to pick it up. You played a mellow. I want to play a heavy
I might
one.
Bat a bomb songs.
All right. I'm going to play a heavy one.
All right.
This is off, and I believe Kyle, the late Kyle Dotson, gave me this album. This is the only album I own by this band. This is the only album I like by this band. This is Green Day.
Oh, and this album is named after you.
This is American Idiot.
And the song? Letter Bomb.
Letter Bomb, sorry. Yeah, man, I really didn't like these guys, and then I really, really like American Idiot.
They're good. They're a good band.
Yeah, I think when they came out, I was still very like all about original Lower East Side punk, and then this, you know, the kind of the pop punk. They kind of started the pop punk movement.
Yeah,
I think I was just kind of just anti that.
And you might have been sick of Dookie, but man, they have so many albums. This band's got a ton of albums.
They do have a lot of albums. And I like almost every track on this album.
Yeah.
So going from not liking them at all to liking every track on an album.
Yeah, it's pretty great. Yeah. I think they have a new album coming out, or maybe one just came out. Mm. I don't know.
I don't know either.
1986, this album was produced by Ron Nevison.
How many more we have here? What's going on?
I got 1, 2, 3. I got like 4 more, but I'll just play by ear.
All right.
This song is from 1986. It's Ozzy Osbourne's 4th solo album, produced by Ron Nevison. Ozzy,
hold on, what? Hold on, I think 4th solo. Hold on, let me think. Bark at the Moon? No.
The one after Bark at the Moon. Oh. Second one with Jakey Lee.
I know, Jakey Lee with that white SG. Mm-hmm. I'm blanking.
The album's called The Ultimate Sin.
Right.
Ozzy does not like this album.
Oh, really?
Yep, it was the only one not to be reissued. Also, Shot in the Dark was written by his bass player, and there's always some rights issues with the song. And they
Who was that star? Who was on bass?
On bass was Phil Soussan.
Okay.
Anyway, this song is Thank God for the Bomb.
I'm so bummed I never saw Ozzy in his prime.
Did he have one? I think he's had a prime on album. I don't know how. I mean, I don't know. When I've seen him live, he was good. He was good once.
Did you see him in the 80s?
No.
When did you see him? Because
I've only seen him since I've been out here.
Oh, so.
First time was 1996, I think.
Oh, really? He was bad then?
He wasn't. He was sick, though.
Oh, okay.
I've told this story before, but he was on Larry King like two nights later. And he's like, how was your show this week in Los Angeles? He's like, a little bit sick. And I did two impressions I can't do.
Right, yeah.
But the first thing Ozzy did at the show I saw is he came out and dumped a bucket of water on himself. Well, no wonder you're fucking sick. Don't dump a fucking water. It's an ice bucket challenge before the show. So Korn opened up, didn't see a second of them.
Yeah, why would you?
No, I walked around and looked at anything.
Ugh, we used to have...
There was no merch. We just looked at concessions just to avoid... There was merch.
We had them on Farm Club when I was writing on that Jimmy Iovine, Dr. Dre.
Yeah. You know,
terrible.
Then I saw him with Mike Schmidt at Ozfest. He was okay then. And then I saw him on Father's Day at the House of Blues, and he was good that
night. Wow, I would like to have seen, really like to have seen that.
We had to wait in line all day, basically, to get him to sign an album, or the CD.
Sure.
And then you got a wristband to go see the show for free that night.
Oh, so you buy the album.
Get a free wristband.
Get a wristband.
Get a signature.
And you wow, that's a great deal.
And you go to the
deal.
House of Blues.
They must have limited that number.
I think it was like 600 people.
Wow,
first 600
amazing.
People.
That is great.
But it was on Father's Day then. So if you're a father, which I was, you have to go, you know, my Father's Day present will be to not be around you today. I'm going to hang out at Amoeba with idiots for 3 hours, come back home for 2 hours, and then go back out.
Right. I'm going to stand with a bunch of people in leather in the sun. Yeah. Wow. But, House of Blues had some good albums. I saw Johnny Cash at the House of Blues.
I'll tell you what, now that I have my Hollywood Bowl hiccup.
Hiccup?
Not a hiccup, a hookup.
Hookup.
Ozzy's coming to the Hollywood Bowl in June of 2020.
Oh, nice.
You've never seen him?
No.
Well, maybe you're my date for that.
Maybe, that'd be fantastic.
Thank God for the bomb, right?
Yeah. All right. You know, Warren Zevon used to play the House of Blues all the time.
And his shit's fucked up.
And I always said I was going to see him, and I never did, and he's one of my favorite artists, and I never got to see him. One of my only regrets.
What's your favorite?
I'm gonna take it
what's
down.
Your favorite Warren Zevon song?
I'm gonna take Carmelita is one of my favorites. Mutineer is one of my favorites. Why do you have this? Oh, you just did the Warren Zevon.
The Warren Zevon episode without you.
Desperado Under the Eaves.
I hear mariachi static on my radio, and the tubes, they glow in the dark.
This is Carm Killita.
And I'm
Kill.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Good song.
So good. So great. What a great song about heroin addiction.
Yeah, the song My Shit's Fucked Up is the one I like.
Yeah. All right, I was going to pick it up because I was going to bring it down, but we brought it down again. So I'm going to keep bringing it down.
Okay.
This is off, Raising Sand, I believe. Year would this be?
2007.
This is, I saw this tour. It was fantastic.
Oh, that's cool.
Produced by T-Bone Burnett.
Mm-hmm.
This is Robert Plant and Alison Krauss, Killing the Blues.
Here we go.
Which I believe is a standard.
No, it says it says the computer is not authorized to play Killing the Blues.
Why is that?
It's just it's password protected, so I can't play it.
It wasn't password protected on my computer.
No, because you have the password.
Why does everyone else not?
Because you purchased it. You purchased it when... You
oh, okay. Yeah, because this was 2007.
The song is called Killing the Blues?
Killing the Blues.
Hold on, I'll find it.
All right.
I'll play it through iTunes. I don't know where it'll drop us in at, but here we go.
You can just drop it in the middle anywhere. It's mellow for the whole thing. Right in the middle of the chorus.
That's where they dropped it. I don't have a choice.
Oh, are you on iTunes?
Yes.
Okay.
Because there is nothing
They went back in and tried to record another album, and it just wasn't work. I mean, they were getting along, but they just weren't feeling it.
He went on to do some really great, something like three since then, kind of that country Americana vibe. And that last one, I wasn't really into it, but the last one he released, I thought was really good. T-Bone Burnett produced this, and he was producing some soundtrack with the Coen brothers at this time. So we got tickets to see it, and it was fantastic. It was at the Greek Theater, and the women behind us were huge Robert Plant fans. And they're probably about 15 years older than us, 20 years older than this. So these old ladies, and every time he would jiggle his hips or do some kind of classic Robert Plant, they're like, ah, like screaming. Right. It was fantastic. He was great. He countryfied a few Zeppelin songs, like, I want to say When the Levee Breaks, and did a couple solo Robert Plant's countryfied. Some worked, some didn't. But it was definitely a great show.
How could it not be?
Right.
1986, Electric Light Orchestra. The album is Balance of Power.
This
is one of my favorite Electric Light Orchestra albums. It's one that's under the radar, I think. I think hardcore fans enjoy it, but I really like it top to bottom, Balance of Power. The song is called In for the Kill. Probably if a metal band sang this song, it would take a whole different, these lyrics, In for the Kill, In for the Slaughter.
Absolutely. I like that a lot.
New Electric Light Orchestra album coming out in November, about a month from now.
How is it New Electric Light Orchestra?
It's called Jeff Lynne's Electric Light Orchestra.
Why didn't he just go by Jeff Lynne?
He knows that there's value in the name Electric Light Orchestra.
Because who was the piano player?
Richard Tandy.
Yeah, he's not.
Off the top of my head. Tell everyone. I pulled that without looking at anything.
He didn't look at anything.
Thank you.
Tandy's not playing with him anymore, is he?
What if you turned around and spray painted across the wall and said Richard Tandy?
Or you just pulling a Usual Suspects
I think Richard Tandy is...
In an old folks home?
I think he's elderly and maybe has had some health issues. I'm not sure of that. Because he wasn't on the tour last year that I saw.
Right. He's on the live at Hyde Park.
Yeah. I think he might play on the studio album still though.
Okay.
But I think it's a one man production currently.
Okay. Going back to the Who. Sorry. Because I really love the
You're wearing your Who t-shirt that you bought for
$5.
Actually, you owe me $10.
Oh, I do owe you $10.
What else? We say that I bought Mary a t-shirt.
And me.
Yeah.
We got the parking lot t-shirts.
I'd rather have my $10.
All right. Well, I got my wallet.
Do you have $10 in it?
Maybe.
Instead of taking a break to pee, maybe you take a wallet break.
You'll get your $10, buddy.
Tell me about the concert. You're good for it.
All right. What were we talking about?
The concert. Another thing that you hated about the Who concert.
No, I loved.
Another thing you loved about the Who concert.
What I loved about the Who concert. First of all, they come out, they do this mellow, maybe it was Behind Blue Eyes or... I don't know, but they had the lead cellist there and the lead violin player, and they were just stereotypical orchestra, Asian women in their black gowns, very stoic. They came out, they played their part, they took their bow, and then they went back. And then they closed with Bob O'Reilly. And this is, and I told you they're right there. I'm like, this is my favorite part. This is what made this concert worth it. They go into Bob O'Reilly, and I'm, everybody, and they're rocking it. They're rocking it already. Yeah. And I forget about the violin solo. Like, who remembers the violin solo? Right.
I remember because I think I played it on my Sexy Strings episode with Kerry Scott.
But I'm not thinking about it at all. And all of a sudden, the stoic, classically trained violinist
comes out,
fucking runs out,
rocks it, smiling.
She's smiling from ear to ear. She's jumping up and down.
She's center stage with the Who.
She's center stage with Pete Townsend and just wailing on this thing, man. And it just made the whole night for me. Made the whole night.
It was pretty impressive.
It was so great. And she was just having the time of her life. It was almost like, my dad would never let me play this growing up. I'm so excited to be able to play it now.
Mm-hmm. And then Roger closed the show by saying, be lucky.
Yeah.
How do you be lucky?
Yeah.
you can't. If you could just be lucky, everyone would be lucky.
Man, I really wanted to end the Who story on a positive note.
Be lucky!
Roger Daltrey.
Yes.
Just walk off stage when they're playing the instrumentals.
Be lucky.
You're up there for 10, 15 minutes playing two tambourines.
Yeah, beating them into submission.
Yeah, just go. Go. I'm sure there's some mashed bananas you can eat back there that the home brought you or something. Just get off stage.
I asked for a tambourine for my birthday, and I thought that they would get me like a professional grade tambourine, not like a $300 tambourine, but like a, you know, hey, got me like a kid's tambourine. I think they thought I was joking.
Who knew there were levels of tambourines?
Well, you know, there's one that's in a box at a preschool. And then there's one like Daltrey plays on stage.
There's probably
Nicks
in a
plays.
Box at a preschool.
It's different grade. I'll show it to you.
All right. Maybe you're right. I know nothing of tambourines.
I'm very good at it. I've been taking lessons.
But you know what? Honestly, tambourine is hard to play.
Yeah.
A tambourine is hard outside of hitting the
mine's out of tune. Mine's out of tune.
You gotta get that thing tuned up. You gotta hire somebody like a pianist, like a piano tuner.
You want to play a song and then I'll play the play out?
Sure.
You gotta go.
Yeah, let's do it.
Otherwise, I'd keep playing.
Let's see what I want to do here. Oh, you know what? Let's do this. Let's close out on this on my end. There's killing, which is when you do well in comedy.
Right.
That was our theme for the show that we completely avoided.
Well, we talked about it a little bit. There's, up front we did for 25 minutes.
We avoided it after. There's bombing. That's when you do bad.
You don't want to do that.
You don't want to do that.
No.
You want to kill.
You want to kill. Ha ha.
But what you really want to do is crush.
Uh-oh. Okay, cool.
With eyeliner, if you can. This is REM off of Monster. 90, what, 3?
Yep.
Album gets shit on, but it's
very hard
so
to find. It's so hard
good.
To find.
Are you saying it's in the resale bin in every place you go?
I at one point asked people if they found them for a buck or less to send them to me. I wanted to see how many I could amass. People didn't really do that. Greg Kadester did. I think I've got like 8 or 9 copies of them right now. But I wanted because they just released or they're gonna release a big, I think, 25th anniversary. Box set,
yeah.
And I wanted to see how many I could get and like build a house of cards with it or something, but it didn't pan out.
Oh, it's a great album, man.
I would like to get Mike Mills. Mike Mills, I think, lives in LA.
Yeah.
I'd like to get him on and we do a track by track of this album and then promote the re-release.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah. Would that be Murray approved?
I would absolutely be Murray approved, man.
Maybe that might even get April Richardson back here.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
All right.
No, man, it's REM, it's the Beatles, and it's U2 are my 3 favorite bands.
They're all good bands.
Mm-hmm.
They're all too inactive.
Absolutely. I'm still heartbroken that REM broke up. As an adult, 6 years later.
Michael Stipe just released a solo song.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Ringo just released a solo song this week. It's fantastic.
McCartney's going to release 2 more songs for Record Store Day.
Oh, U2?
These guys aren't inactive at all.
U2 is releasing something for... Oh, crap. What was it? I feel like they're releasing something great for Record Store Day. I'll figure it out before we end.
Now, the playout song. Do you want to hear from Crowded House? Do you want to hear from The Runaways, which would just be a song we already heard?
Right.
Or do you want to hear from Nazareth, a band that never gets played on the show?
Well, then let's go with Never Gets Played, although I much prefer Crowded House.
I'll play whatever you want. It's up to you. I'm letting you
decide. Let's... hold on. I think I found it.
Okay.
Oh, hold on. It's taking a minute to load. Play
okay.
it, play it.
Well, let's see. We'll just talk right because it's a playout song. Okay. So, okay, Murray, you host.
Oh, they're releasing their first ever EP, 3, for Record Store Day.
Okay, cool.
That's it. That was U2. Sorry.
Are those new songs? Oh, no. They're re-releasing their first ever EP
yes.
that came out before Boy.
Yes.
All right, cool.
So, Wes, Anthony, when you go to Record Store Day, Pick me up one, will you?
Pick up one of those.
Pick me up one, will you, please? Thank you.
Okay, so you host the Road Stories podcast.
The Road Stories podcast, yes.
You are at Murray V.
On Twitter?
Or is it at Murray V?
At Murray V.
At Murray V on Twitter.
M-U-R-A-Y-V.
You have...
I'm more active on Instagram.
Instagram, because that's what the kids do.
Murray V Comedy on Instagram.
You also have a Facebook page.
Yes, I do. Murray V Comedy or Murray Valeriano Comedy.
We are at Rock Solid Show. I'm at Pat_Francis. Kyle is at Kyle.Funny. We have enamel pins will be available very soon. They are being made currently. They're pretty cool. I'm sorry?
By?
What do you mean?
Who makes them?
I forget the company.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Steve O. Dockerson made mine.
He made enamel pins?
I don't know what that is.
The enamel pins are the ones that have the little posts, like the one I wore.
No, he made a regular
pin. That's a button. That's a button.
That's a button?
That's a pin. Yeah, these are enamel pins. Right. These are fancy.
Okay.
I like the Steve O. Dockerson ones. Don't get me wrong.
All right. I enjoy mine very much.
Nice.
All right.
But this is a pin.
Okay. This is a pin.
This thing. And I had it so it doesn't say my name on it. Doesn't say podcast on it. It says rock star. You're going to
like
it.
Nice. Them.
It's
awesome.
Going to be cool.
Awesome.
So then you can wear it and then people, you're not advertising me. It could mean all kinds of different things. I think those two words together.
Sure. Makes sense.
Yeah. Where are you going to be?
I also got a big tour coming up starting in Seattle on October 23rd at the Jewel Box Theater. And then I am all over the place, man. Oregon, Washington State, Nevada, Vegas, and I'm headlining all those. And then I'm opening for a comedian named Cristela Alonso on like 6 of her dates.
She's famous. She had her own sitcom.
Yeah, she's great. That's going to be a lot of fun. We've been working together in town a lot. And so you can get all those dates.
Has she been on Road Stories?
Yeah, she's been on like 3 times or something.
Yeah, I saw you posted a picture of I don't know. Did you go to an old folks home and record an episode a couple weeks ago?
No. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
My wife came home when I was recording that and she said,
what are all the wheelchairs in the front yard?
What had happened was I recorded.
How did you have mics for all those people?
I had 4 mics and they rotated in and out.
Okay.
But I helped produce a podcast for a woman who used to run she's a legend in the comedy.
Silver?
World. Silver Feldman. Friedman, Bud Friedman's ex-wife who ran the improvs in New York. And so she wanted to do a podcast. So
is that Zoe's mom?
That's Zoe Friedman's mom.
Okay.
Yes. And she was a delight.
Cool. And then you had Rick Overton.
Rick Overton
Paul
was on.
Provenza,
Paul Provenza. Mike
Jonathan
Ivey,
Solomon.
Jonathan Solomon.
Who I think was on Pilar's podcast before.
Yeah, because he's a big writer now.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So.
And that's cool when you can get a whole bunch of people.
Yeah, I just helped him. I helped him do it.
I had the zombies on. My picture looked the same. Looked like the same thing. So
you can catch all those dates at Murray V Comedy and Murray Valeriano.
People can tweet at you. People can contact you via Facebook if they want to meet up and have a drink or lunch or something.
Absolutely.
You're
people already have.
You're all open to that.
And I return every email and I try to return every comment. So
yeah
no, people have already have. They announced the tour a couple weeks ago.
Okay, cool. So you post the dates on the Rock Solid page.
Okay. I did post Seattle on there, but
okay,
that was when? Was that like 3
that.
Months
you
ago?
Ask
I did
me.
Ask you. And you, what'd you,
you
say?
Don't have to ask.
What'd you say?
I said, you're an admin, so just post it. I don't care.
All right. Well, I know a couple of Rock Solid people already coming to Seattle, so I'm excited about that.
All right. Here's the playout song. A listener said, you never play Nazareth. And I forget the guy's name. I'm so sorry. People send me so much stuff.
Nobody ever says that.
This guy did his favorite band.
All right.
He sent me the entire Nazareth catalog.
Oh.
Yeah. It's nuts. It's nuts. But
give me the lineup of Nazareth.
I have no idea.
Oh, really? Okay.
No idea.
All right. I'm sorry. I thought you would. I apologize.
I know they have some cool album covers. I remember seeing their albums in the racks when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And I knew, you know, Hair of the Dog,
sure.
Don't Go Messing
Great.
With the Son of a Bitch.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I know,
Same
you
song.
Know, Love Hurts. I know some songs, but.
Which they do a great in the country music documentary. They cover Graham Parsons phenomenally.
Yeah, it's amazing. But.
Who wrote that song? That's why I said that.
I'm glad.
Okay.
But Nazareth, every album sounds a little bit different. Sometimes they don't sound like how you think they might sound. But this is from
like
1981. Yeah. This is from 1981. The album is called The Fool Circle, F-O-O-L, instead of The Full
Got it.
Circle.
Follow.
Those words are hard for me to say. And the song is called Dressed to Kill. Thank you, Murray.
Thanks, Pat. Always fun.
Nazareth.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Thank you, guys.